Turn to John chapter number 3, please. The book of John chapter number 3. I tell you, it's just been a tremendous week. Amen?
Amen?
Thankful for all that God has been doing. I tell you, this has been some of the greatest preaching I have heard in a GPA meeting. Amen? I mean, it's always good preaching, but I tell you, it has just been exceptional this week to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Everybody's done an outstanding job, so I hope I don't mess it up tonight. Amen? But I hope and pray, amen. But I hope and pray it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Amen. I can always rely on Steve Lloyd. Give me a comment. Amen. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word as we look at these verses together in John chapter number 3. Begin reading in verse number 1. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." I want to just preach on this thought tonight and ask you this question. Have you entered into God's birthing room? Have you entered into God's birthing room? Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father in heaven, we love you. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help me tonight to rightly divide the word of truth. Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd clear my mind. I pray, God, my heart would be cleared. Lord, I pray if there's anything between you and I pray, God, that you'd scrub me up and forgive me tonight. Father, I just pray that if there's somebody in this building, Lord, that has questions, Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that does not know you. Lord, we never want to take for granted, Father, when we come to the house of God, that there could be a sinner that is sitting in this place here tonight that's never been born again. So, Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd work on their heart tonight. And then, Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that's maybe struggling with some things. God, I pray that, Lord, whatever it may be, I pray that, Lord, you would help us, Father, to examine ourselves here tonight. I pray for Brother Clement as he will come in a few moments and preach the Word of God as well. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd use this tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have heard this week. Thank you for every man of God, Lord, that's preached this week. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Don. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the cooks. Thank you, Lord, for everything, God, that has been going on in this place this week. A good time of fellowship, Lord. We thank you for that as well. We love you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to serve you. Help me to preach, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you all so much. I will never forget the first time that Jane, my wife, she entered into the birthing room. And I'll never forget the excitement that was on my heart and on her heart as we had the opportunity to experience for the first time in our lives the opportunity to have our first child. And I'm so thankful for that. And I want to tell you that it was just a tremendous opportunity for us, and it was just a marvelous joy in our hearts and our lives to be able to see Emily come into this world. And as we were experiencing that happiness, as we were experiencing that joy that afternoon there in that birthing room, I'll never forget looking over and noticing a father and noticing his parents weeping uncontrollably that afternoon because of a tragedy that had taken place in their lives. While Jane and I and my mom and my dad and Jane's mother and father were celebrating Emily coming into this world and this new life, this father and his parents had just heard that his child was born stillborn and it did not make it. And so I begin to think about how that there was just this great joy and this great happiness celebrating this life that came into this world. Yet, my dear friend, here we see this other family having to deal with this sadness due to this destructible thing called death. I want you to know tonight, has it ever occurred to you that when we begin to think about the birthing process, did you know that that's kind of how the Lord Jesus Christ explained to you and I, in terms that you and I could understand it, that how we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that mankind, you see, before salvation, he was dead in trespasses and in sins. But you see, after salvation came, thank God, life was breathed into these individuals. And I want you to know, listen, that in order for us to be able to have life, according to the Word of God here in John chapter number 3, we've got to enter, if you will, into God's spiritual birthing room. Amen. May I say tonight, listen, there is so much life that is all around us. Yet at the same time, my dear friend, there are people that are dead in trespasses and in sins. Yeah. And while we celebrate the life of people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get excited. I mean, even in our ministry this year, I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed us to see 117 people birthed into the family of God here in 2012. And how that we are excited, yes, over this new life that has been birthed into the family of God. My dear friend, my heart grieves, if you will, because of those that are still dead, if you will, in trespasses and in sins. I want you to know that salvation is a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know that, listen, if we begin to think about on December the 10th, 1989, that's the day that Emily came into this world. Well, I want you to know it would have been a miracle that afternoon if that little child that slipped off into eternity as soon as it was born. I want you to know it would have been a miracle if life would have been able to been breathed back into that child after it was pronounced dead. Amen. And may I say to you, listen, I want you to know tonight that, listen, that's exactly how salvation is. That is why salvation is such a miracle. Amen. Because the very God of heaven, you and I, by nature, hated God, warred with God, wanted nothing to do with God, dead in trespasses and in sins. But thank God tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ breathed life, hallelujah, down into the hearts and the lives of those that needed the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to just imagine that thought here tonight. Something that was dead brought to life. Something that was dead brought to life. How does God want us to be able to understand this text here tonight? Well, you'll notice in the text that John says in John chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So in other words, my friend, unless a human being, my friend, is born of God, the Bible instructs you and I that they cannot see God. So in order for you and I to be able to see the kingdom of God, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, if you will. Thank God that Paul said, not only did it, are we standing upon it. Thank God we have been saved by it as well and kept by it as well. Amen. Because of what Christ did at the cross of Calvary. I want to make it very clear tonight that the Bible tells you and I that it is not by blood, it is not by the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. But salvation is solely and dependent upon God Himself. God is the only one, my dear friend, that can do this work in our hearts and our lives after we have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to take a look, if you will, in the Word of God here tonight. And I want to take a look at this new birth in terms that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to understand. I think many times we kind of skip over the example that the Lord is helping our human minds to try to help grasp it and understand how it is that a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, I want to look at it from the father and the mother and the child being born into this world to help you and I to understand how a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, tonight, I want you to notice, if you will, I want you to notice the dark dungeon, if you will. When we begin to think about this, listen, we understand that a child, when it is conceived, we understand that the child is in the mother's womb. And I want you to know that I cannot help but to think, my dear friend, about this dark place. A place, if you will, my friend, where there is no light. And I begin to think about the seed that is in the ground with no light. I begin to think about the baby in the mother whose womb with no light. I think about the caterpillar in the darkness of the cocoon. I want you to know, my friend, that those are dark places where there is no light shining in it. But may I say to you, I am thankful here tonight that there is hope, hallelujah, in the darkness, in the despair, thank God, of the dungeon. Amen. And may I say to you here tonight, listen, when we think about that example of that child that is inside the mother's womb and that darkness and in that despair, oh, may I say to you,
that is exactly where mankind resides. Amen. They are in the darkness, if you will, and the dungeon of sin. And it is not, my dear friend, until God is able to come by and breathe life and send light into their life that they can ever respond and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may I say to you tonight, listen, it is not until conviction comes, my friend, that we can truly cry out to a holy God. It is not till conviction comes by the precious Spirit of God that we are ever going to allow to be able to be made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may I say to you, listen, you're going to love one way while you are carnal, while you are in your flesh, amen, while you are in this world as a worldly individual. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes up and sets up resident in your heart and in your life, I want you to know your love will change, your outlook on life will change, everything will change because of the Lord Jesus Christ setting up residence in your heart and in your life. Oh, may I say to you, listen, the Bible reminds you and I that yes, it is that old things will pass away, and thank God, all things will become new. The dark dungeon of despair. But I want you to think about the dark desolation as well. You see, as it is compared to a birth, resembling a child in his mother's womb, so the those that are still in sin is also compared to a man that is literally being raised out of a grave. Again, when we think about a grave, we think about that dead place. We think about, my friend, that place where there is no life. But may I say to you, Paul reminded you and I in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14, he said, "Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Amen. Oh, may I say to you tonight, listen, to be raised from the grave of sin, thank God, is to be born again into the Spirit of God. I want you to consider our great King. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 or verse number 19, the Bible says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So you see, the new birth of the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ helps you and I to understand that he compares it to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was risen from the dead unto life. He is the first fruits, if you will. He is the beginning of the resurrection. So thank God, because he is alive, you and I that have been in this dark dungeon of despair, thank God we can be saved as well and have life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. So when I begin to think about this dark desolation, when I begin to think about the dark dungeon, I think about the childbirth. I think about the child coming into this world. And I want you to know that when a child is born into this world physically, I want you to know that there are going to be some things that that child is going to do naturally when it comes into this world. You say, "Preacher, well, what are they?" Well, I want you to notice, first of all, that a child cries. That a child cries. I want you to know that as I begin to think about this, first of all, a child, as you know, it is going to cry as soon as it comes into this world. Because, listen, if we think about it, if there is no noise out of the child, if there is no movement out of the child, I want you to know that the doctor, my friend, is going to go ahead and tell us that the child is dead. Amen? Because there is no life, because there is no movement, because there is no noise coming from itself. And I want you to know, my friend, listen, if you say that you have been born again, if you say that you have been delivered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my dear friend, I want you to know that if you're not crying, it could be that you are still dead in trespasses and in sins and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, may I say to you tonight, listen, as soon as he raised you out of the dark dungeon of sin, my dear friend, you still ought to be crying out for the things of God. Amen. After you realize you were lost and you were on your way to hell, thank God when God came by and saved you and set you free, thank God there ought to be some life down inside of your heart that's causing you to cry out for the things of the Lord. Amen. May I say to you tonight, listen, I think about the jailer who repented. I think about what he had to say when he cried out and he said, "Men and brethren, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be saved?" Oh, and I want you to know the jailer, he repented. I want you to know he began to cry out. He began to hear what God had to say to him. And thank God he was saved by God's marvelous grace. My question to you tonight is this. Are you still crying out for the things of God? Is there a desire down in your heart and in your life, my friend, that you want to call out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Oh, may I say to you, that is so sad that there are so many prayerless professors of God that are sitting inside of our pews every solid day of our lives, my friend. That, listen, they never did believe on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And chances are the reason why they're not crying out is because they're still dead in trespasses and in sins. May I say to you, if you're not crying out for the things of God, you're still dead. I want you to know a child ought to cry. I want you to know that a child craves as well. A child craves as well. You see, while it is natural for a child to cry, just like it should be natural for a child of God to cry. You see, when a child is born, it craves the breast of its mother. And may I say to you, as it craves the breast of its mother, it knows that it cannot survive without the milk from the breast of the mother. It understands, my dear friend, that there's no way that it can physically survive without the milk. Amen. Oh, and may I say to you, Peter reminds you and I in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. Oh, may I say to you, listen, if you have really been born again, I want you to know that the question should come up here tonight. Can people see that you are still desiring the breast of God? That people are seeing you desiring, if you will, the things of God? Have you really, truly tasted and found, my dear friend, that you are craving the gracious word of God in your heart and your life? May I say to you, my dear friend, if you're not, it could be that you're craving the wrong thing. Somebody say amen. I want you to know that those that are truly been born again, those that have been truly born of God, I want you to know they're going to have a desire to want the things of the Lord. I begin to think about what John Bunyan had to say, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress. And in his last sermon before he died, this is what he said. He said, what is a promise to a carnal man or a worldly man? What is the promise to the things of God? Why in the world should he care? He said, a whorehouse, it may be, is more sweet to him. But if you be born again, you cannot live without the milk of God's word. And I ask you the question here tonight. I say to you here tonight, what is it that you are tasting from the Lord here tonight? What is it, my dear friend, that is in your mouth here tonight? What is it that you enjoy tasting over the things and you are craving over the things of God? Is it the whorehouse like the preacher had to say? Is it pornography? Is it gambling? Is it lying? Is it cheating? Is it pretending to be one thing that you're not? Is it a homosexual lifestyle? Is it drugs? Is it money? Is it alcohol? What is it, my dear friend, that you're craving, desire, my friend, in your life is? Oh, listen, if you're not craving the things of God, it could be tonight that you are still dead in trespasses and in sins and need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May I say to you, I begin to think about this. What in the world can the breast of a mother do to a child that is dead? Absolutely nothing. Oh, but my dear friend, for the breast of the mother, that for the child that is alive, or that is alive, oh, my dear friend, it is the connection, if you will, thank God, that keeps them alive. It is the thing, my dear friend, that they understand that they are hungry for. It is the thing that they understand that they need nutrition over. Amen. And oh, may I say to you tonight, listen, what is it, my dear friend, that's causing you to take your focus off of the Lord here tonight and not giving yourself over to all that He has for you? You see, human life itself dictates to you and I. God has placed inside of us the desire to want to live. God has placed the desire inside of our hearts and in our lives to be able to want to live. And I want you to know, could it be here today that the reason why, my dear friend, you're not hungry is because you've never been born again? Could it be here tonight that the reason why, my friend, that you're not hungry for the things of God is because you've never really given your heart to the Lord anyway? Oh, the Bible reminds you and I in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, I want to ask you the question tonight. Not only should it be a child crying should be natural, and a child craving. But I want you to know a child has comforts as well. You see, a child that is newly born, if it does not have the comforts to keep it warm, if it does not have comforts, if you will, to take care of it that it had while it was in its mother's womb, we understand that that child is going to die. Amen. You take a child and you take a child and throw it out in 20 below zero weather with no clothes on, my friend, listen, we know what's going to happen. The child is going to die. You take a child and lay it out in a sun at 100 degrees, and we know, my friend, that that child is going to die. Amen. Why? Because it's got to have the comfort. I think about this. I think about our Savior. The Bible says these words, that He had swaddling clothes when He came into this world. In other words, He was wrapped up tightly in long strips of clothing. My dear friend, we know that without that clothing, that child could have been in trouble. Amen. And I'm thankful that the mother took care of that child. Amen. We understand that process of that a child needs comfort, if you will. So those that have been born again, they've got to have the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, how in the world are they going to live? How in the world are they going to make it? Amen. I'm thankful, my friend, that when I begin to look through John chapter number 14, and he starts out the text and says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Amen. I'm thankful, my friend, that listen, I've got the comfort, if you will, of the promises of the precious Word of God. Amen. And after I was saved by God's marvelous grace, thank God He continues one promise after another in my life. And may I say to you, that promise that God has given to me and that promise that God has given to you, my friend, it's the thing that helps you and I to continue to go in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I think about what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter number 16 and verse 8. The Bible says, let me just read it to you for the sake of time. It says, "Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God. And thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee with also with broidered work, with shod thy thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee with these ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." May I say to you, aren't you thankful that the Lord knows how to take care of His children? Amen. And may I say to you, from the time that I came into this world, my dear friend, listen, I'm thankful that I had a mom and daddy that took care of my physical need, but thank God, hallelujah, that the Lord Jesus Christ continues to take care of every solid need that I have. May I say to you, a child will crave comfort. May I say to you, listen, a child will copy as well. A child will copy. You see, there is usually some similarities between the father and the child. It may be that the child looks like the father. So those that have been born again, I want you to know there ought to be, Zach preached on Monday night, there ought to be some similar things, my dear friend, that you ought to be able to see when it comes to resembling your father. Amen. Oh, listen, it's always been a compliment to me when somebody had looked at me or my brother and said that you remind me of Leonard Sampson. I want you to know that that is a compliment to me. Amen. And may I say to you, there's no doubt that many of you resemble, obviously, your mom or your dad, and that is a compliment when someone says it to you. Well, I want you to know, my friend, it is a much greater compliment when somebody looks at your heart and somebody looks at your life and they say, "You know what? The aura of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is all over you." Amen. You look like your father. Amen. And I want you to know, listen, if you've been saved by God's grace, my dear friend, listen, there ought to be some type of similarity, my friend, that makes you look like the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be, my friend, if you're not, that you're dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6, He said, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's good news. Amen. But listen to this. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? In other words, Paul is saying to you, how in the world, after the Lord Jesus Christ has allowed you to be a child of God, how in the world that you're not only an heir, but a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ? Why in the world, listen, after you've been saved by God's grace, would you want to go back and live in sin? Why in the world would you want to go back and live in bondage? Why would that be your desire, my dear friend, when God has saved you and God has set you free? I want you to know that I understand that, listen, all of us in this building, after we've been saved by God's grace, I know, listen, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want you to know, my friend, your desire ought to change after you have been saved by God's grace. Amen. You ought to want to copy the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that is born of God has something of the features of heaven upon them. I want you to know that, listen, daddies love it. Daddies love it when their child takes on their characteristics. Now, not always are they good. Somebody say amen here. That was a tremendous opportunity for my wife to say amen right there. But I want you to know, a daddy loves it when their child takes on their characteristics. And I want you to know that your father is no different. I want you to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my friend, He smiles, if you will, when He begins to look down through the portals of heaven and He begins to see His child resembling who He is. Amen. I want you to know we can recognize the world. We can recognize what they've got to offer. Oh, but my dear friend, oh, that you and I that have been saved by God's grace, that we would want to make sure that we're exemplifying the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings in our hearts and our lives, so that people will know exactly who we serve. I want you to know, listen, according to the Word of God, listen, I want you to know that Christ describes children of the devil by their features. You see, He calls them the children of the devil. His works they will do. All works of unrighteousness, they are the devil's works. So you see, my friend, if you are earthly, you're going to bear earthly. People are going to recognize it. But I want you to know, if you're bearing heavenly things, if you're bearing the things of the Lord, my friend, listen, people are going to recognize it. And I want you to know, if you're truly a child of God, I want you to know there is going to be a desire in your heart and your life to want to copy the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that a child will conform to the customs of its daddy as well. A child will conform to the customs of its daddy. You see, when a daddy has a child, he begins to train the child up to his own liking. Isn't that a blessing, amen, to be able to do that, to be able to take the child and train the child up into their own liking? They begin to learn the customs, if you will, of that home. They begin to learn the customs of daddy's home, amen. And I want you to know, so are those that are been born of God. I want you to know that, listen, there ought to be a desire in your heart and your life to want to be able to come to the house of God. There ought to be a desire in your heart and your life, my dear friend, to want to get in on the preaching of the Word of God. There ought to be a desire for your heart, my dear friend, that listen, when it comes church time, that listen, you don't have a desire to want to sit at the house, but you've got a desire, my friend, to get around the preaching of the Word of God and get around God's people. Amen. My friend, listen, that's the customs, if you will, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is here in the house of God that, listen, we get instruction on how to love. It is here in the house of God that we get instruction on how to live our lives. Amen. How to take what we've gotten, our resources, as God continues to fill us up in our life, that you and I continue to give it out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to know there ought to be something down in our heart and our life that will help us to conform to the customs of the house of God. But sadly, you say, preacher, what is going on in the house of God today? There's all kinds of different customs that's going on in the house of God than ought to what be there or should be there. Amen. You say, what are they? Well, I want you to know, we see in churches today, we see church splits. We see people who disrespect the pastor and disrespect authority, if you will. We see that there's no forgiveness. We see that there's no love. We have pastors, if you will, that are worried about coming down to a meeting somewhere because they're afraid that their members are going to go somewhere else. Amen. And oh, my dear friend, could you imagine the church at Thessalonica not fellowshipping with the church at Ephesus? Could you imagine the church at Colossae not fellowshipping with the church at Philippi? My dear friend, it was ridiculous. Amen. But may I say to you, listen, those are the types of things that people see nowadays. Those are the types of things, my dear friend, that need to be ran out of the house of God. Amen. And get back to the customs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get back to the customs, if you will, of our great Savior and our great King. May I say to you, listen, I believe it just all boils down to this. Say, preacher, why is all that going on in churches today? I believe with all my heart because there are people that are still sitting in pews that are dead in trespasses and in sins. I believe that there are people, my dear friend, trying to teach Sunday school classes that are lost without God. I want you to know that there are people in churches, my dear friend, listen, that are still lost without God. How in the world, my friend, someone who is lost without God, how in the world can they go on for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords not knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Carnality. It's all around us. The Lord has allowed our family to be able to travel 240 nights or so a year, going away from home, one church after another. And I'm telling you, my friend, sometimes we get into our four little walls and we don't realize what is going on outside these walls. But I'm telling you, there is an attack, if you will, from Satan, my friend, on the church of the living God. I'm telling you, he wants to destroy God's men and he's doing it in the thrones, amen. Men are falling everywhere, my dear friend, because of the carnality that is found inside of their hearts and their lives. And wouldn't it, God, that we would get back to the point to where we're standing up and preaching a book. Amen. Finding out what God's got to say about His customs in the house of God. In closing, my friend, I want you to know that a child can count on its daddy. A child can count on its daddy. You see, for children, it is natural for them to depend upon their father. It's a natural thing. All I want you to know, I thought about here a couple of weeks ago, I thought about my daughter Sarah. And I remember when Sarah was about 3 years old. In fact, I brought this picture here tonight showing you these girls when they were little. Ashley and Emily and Sarah. She was about 3 or 4 years old in that photograph. And I remember Sarah, it was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember how that she came to my bedside one night. Jane and I were sound asleep. And I woke up in the middle of the night and Sarah, her face was about this far, Brother Don, from mine. And I jumped out of the bed, scared me half to death. And I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, I says, what? How long have you been standing there? And Sarah used to have a stuttering problem. And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, sweetheart, I says, what do you want? And she says, I want some, or she said, I'm scared. She goes, I'm scared, Daddy. I says, what are you scared of? And she says, there's a monster under my bed. And I says, well, how can we fix it? She says, can I have a glass of Coke? Amen. I said, you're just like your mama. Amen. I got up out of bed 3 o'clock in the morning, grabbed that little 3 or 4 year old little girl, walked her down the hallway, set her on the table there, took that cup of Coke, and we began to just sit there and drink it. And she had a smile on her face and we sat there for 15, 20 minutes and we just sat there hoping her mom didn't wake up seeing her drinking Coke at 4 in the morning. Amen. But I said to her, I said, sweetheart, I said, you ready to go back to bed? I said, I think we're okay now, right? She said, no. I said, why not? I said, aren't you ready to go back to bed? She says, no. I said, why not? She goes, that monster's still underneath my bed. I said, sweetie, there's no monster under your bed. She says, yes, there is. I picked her up, took her down the hallway, got down on my hands and knees, crawled up under the bed right there, and I said, sweetheart, I says, come here. She was hesitant. She came and she got down and I said, sweetheart, there's no monster underneath this bed. And she looked underneath there and she thought about it for a few moments and it just hit me. And I said, sweetie, I said, do you want Daddy to sleep here under the bed? She said, yeah. Yeah. You know what I did that night? I slept underneath her bed that night. I begin to think about it. It is natural for a child to crave its daddy. It's natural for a child to count on its daddy. You see, when those girls have wanted pairs of shoes, and they have lots of them, amen. When them girls have wanted shoes, they came to daddy. When those girls were hungry, they came to daddy. When they got scared in the storm, they came to daddy. And I want you to know here tonight that your heavenly Father is no different. Is it tonight, my dear friend, that you need spiritual bread from God? I say run to daddy tonight. Oh, may I say to you tonight, listen, if you're scared in the storm, I tell you tonight, run to daddy, amen. Oh, my dear friend, listen, if there's something in your heart, your life, that my friend, listen, you think the devil's got one trick after another, one fiery dart after another, I want you to know you can run to daddy tonight. Thank God. Why? Because my dear friend, if those that are dead in trespasses and sins, they're never going to run to daddy. They don't know who daddy is. But may I say to you tonight, my friend, those that have been born again, it ought to be natural, my friend, that listen, when the storms of life come up in your heart and in your life, when things come your way, my friend, listen, it ought to be a natural instinct not to run out of the house of God, not to run away from the preaching of the Word of God, not to run away from God's people, but run to God. Why? Because you've been saved by God's grace. Now, my dear friend, you are heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the world would you go back to the things of the world? Why in the world would you go back and be enslaved to the devil once again when God has saved you and set you free tonight? I want to ask you a question tonight. What are you craving in this place here tonight? My dear friend, I want you to know that the Lord does not have a flower up in heaven that He's pulling one petal off and says, I love Him, but I don't love her. I love Him, but I don't love him. I want you to know, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us all. And I want you to know, my dear friend, that He went to the cross of Calvary. And I want you to know, my friend, that He died on an old rugged cross that you might have life, thank God, and have it more abundantly. But my question tonight is, are you crying out to the Lord? Oh, what are you craving here tonight? Do you want to copy the things of the Lord? Do you crave the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life? My friend, if you're not tonight, it could be that you're dead in trespasses and sins and just need the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God He's made a way. All you got to do is come tonight and believe by faith that the Lord will save you and set you free.